Hey everyone, welcome back to the Monclova Baptist Church podcast. We're thankful that you joined us today. Hey, if you would do us a favor at the end of this episode, make sure that you follow us on our social, Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that bell button so that you get notified every time that we post new content. If you also want to stay connected with us beyond Sunday morning, make sure that you download the MRBC app on the Google Play Store or the App Store. Now let's dive in.
We started a series last week. I'm so thankful that Matt was able to preach last Sunday and started a series in Family Matters. We're going to do for the next several weeks a series on the family. This is something the Lord has just really placed on my heart over the last months, I would say. And as I see, I'm excited about the Lord coming back, aren't you? But as I see and anticipate His return, there's things that we're seeing in society today that is alarming. And one of the things that I think is the most alarming is the demise of the family. And we're going to do a series of the family, and we started it last week with Pastor Matt, and then we'll continue through this month. And I hope that you'll pay close attention. Now, a couple of things before I start this series, I want you to understand not everything that I say during this series is going to feel good. But I hope that you don't come to church just to feel good. You know, I've been to a lot of doctor's appointments. I was in several this past week, and some of the things that my doctor said to me didn't feel good. One of the things he said to me is, you need to lose more weight. That doesn't feel good. And I didn't like it when he said that. But I didn't go get a new doctor because I understood this. He's right. I might not like it, but he's right. And some things that we talk in the family, it might not feel good. You know, might not like it, but ask the Holy Spirit of God to minister to your heart. And also this, I like to preach. My preferred style would be opening up a passage of scripture. And they call it expository preaching, where you just go through a passage of scripture like we did through the book of Revelation. I really enjoy that. These next several weeks are going to be more topical, where we're taking a topic and we're just kind of going through scripture, looking at that topic. And so maybe you like expository preaching, and next couple of weeks, as we look at this issue, the home, we're going to be all throughout scripture, different places. We're not just going to take a single passage of scripture and go verse by verse through that. So things may be a little bit different, and so bear with it. I hope that you'll enjoy it. Some like topical preaching more than expository preaching. So if that's you, then you'll enjoy this. If it's not, then we'll get back to our normal style of preaching here once this series is over. But you hang in there, and I'm praying this will be a blessing to you. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 24. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 24. In verse number 25, the Bible says this: therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And they were both naked, and man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And you say, what's the importance of that? Well, they're at a time here where there's no sin. They're living in a time in this world where sin has not separated them from their heavenly Father. Sin has not hurt their marriage in any way. They have come together, and the purity of this, a man leaving his father, leaving his mother, cleaving, becoming one flesh with his wife. This is a true biblical family. And there's several things I want you to see here. Number one, it's this leaving and cleaving, we call it, leaving home and coming together and forming one home together, husband and a wife. Second thing I want you to see here is this. It's a husband and a wife, a man and a woman coming together. This is God's plan. This is God's desire. This makes up what God would call a biblical home. This man leaving his father and his mother coming together with his wife and they becoming one flesh. One flesh. Not one dictator over the other. It's not one where their needs and their feelings matter more than the other. They're one flesh, caring one for another. A family is not a place where it's a perfect marriage. This family, when Adam and Eve, they came together for the first time, it was a perfect marriage. There was no sin. But there's no perfect marriage in this room. There's no perfect marriage in this world. There's no perfect people because we have sin. And because of that, there's no perfect marriage. There's no such thing as a perfect family. But family is where life begins. It's where children are born into. We'll see a group of babies next week, and they're born into a family. And it's where this life begins, and it ought to be a place where love never ends. And the Word of God is going to show us over these next several weeks, it's going to show us how we can make our family a better place. We can strive to make it a perfect place, but the reality is this, we're still sinners. We live in a sin-filled world. There's no such thing as a perfect family, but I believe this, all of us can make our families a better family. We can strive to make it more glorifying the Lord. The architect of the human family is God. Therefore, because God is the architect of this family, there's a blueprint that we can find in his word. If God was not the architect, if it was man to decide what family looks like, if it was man to decide what family was to be, then we would fail miserably. But this is God's plan. His plan is that a man leaves his mother and his father and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. This is God's plan. God created Adam and Eve as man and woman. And this eternal pattern that God has placed for the family, and this pattern has never changed. Going back some 6,000 or so years when Adam and Eve were created by God, this is God's plan. And one of the things that we are seeing in society today is that society is trying to dictate what marriage is. Matter of fact, society is coming to the place where marriage is no longer even important. Most people don't even realize the importance of marriage or the commitment, the covenant commitment that marriage is. That is not God's plan. God has a plan. God has a pattern. And that pattern has never changed. In anything that is different than God's pattern, you please mark this down. It is rebellion against God's word. It's rebellion. And rebellion against God will never prosper. And so God has a plan, God has a pattern, and that is what we are to follow. And so what is the purpose of family? In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 28, the Bible says this, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, you see, that's a pretty basic plan. But the reality is this, God's purpose for the family is that the family reproduces here upon this earth, that this mother and this father come together in love, and they have these children that then become fruitful and they multiply. In John 13, 34, the Bible says this, "Love one another even as I have loved you." And so this twofold plan, number one would be to be fruitful and to multiply. Number two is that we are to love. Husbands are to love their wives, the Bible says. Parents are to love their children. This plan is what God has. This purpose that God has placed in this family is what we ought to follow. In God's blueprint, the father is to lead the family. Now, I know that goes contrary to the world that we live in today. Matter of fact, there's a problem in our society. And that problem is the idea of masculine leadership is ridiculed. I've said this to you before, that manhood in America has been mocked. It's mocked. You turn on the average TV show and it mocks masculine leadership. And sometimes we have the wrong idea of what biblical masculine leadership is. Biblical masculine leadership is not the man coming home and everybody serving him. It's not the man working all day, coming home, and everyone running around to please him. It's not the man coming home and everyone's scared because he rules his home with an iron fist. That's a dictator. That's not what God has planned here. That is not man and woman becoming one flesh, a partner formed in love. But somebody has to lead. There's always going to be someone that has to make that decision, difficult decisions, hard decisions. But God had designed for the man to lead the home. In the Old Testament, when we read when Israel started to fail, it's when Israel began to worship Baal. And Baal worship is what Jezebel brought to Israel. And during this time, this Baal sacrifice, it caused things like child sacrifice. And we even see it today with the abortions that are happening across our nation and across our world. It's child sacrifice. It's Baal worship. And this is the cause when Baal becomes worshiped in society. And what happens is this produces a nation that incurs God's wrath. I hate to say this about our nation, but America is becoming a pagan nation. Some will say this, no, we're becoming progressive. There's a difference between becoming progressive and becoming pagan. America is becoming a pagan nation. We are adopting pagan philosophies. If you were to go back during pagan nations in the Old Testament and even throughout the New Testament, you would find patterns that we are beginning to practice even in our own culture. Child sacrifice is one of those. It's the destruction of the home. It's the destruction of the family unit that God has so clearly outlined in his word. And the further from the Bible we get, the more progressive we become, or the more pagan we become. And we are leaving the traditional family that has been accepted for thousands of years. That traditional family is where a man marries a woman and begins to have children. We are leaving that traditional family, and we are now drifting into pagan views and pagan worship of the family. And it is causing our nation, it's causing our homes to be severely, severely contrary to the word of God. This is not progress. By us accepting everything that man is throwing out there is not progress. By us neglecting what the word of God has to say is not our nation moving forward. It is us moving backward in a pagan culture. A family is what God designed. It's a mother and a father coming together and being fruitful and multiplying. A family is a home where people come together and there is love one for another, not fear, not intimidation, but true love like God has for us. A family is not a house. Many times you say, I'm going to go home. Well, we're referring to a house. A house doesn't make up a family, and a house doesn't make up a home. A family is a husband and a wife and children coming together in the spirit of love. It doesn't matter what you live in. There's many homes that are better off in small houses than homes that are in some of the largest, most beautiful houses that culture can have. It's the love of a mother. It's when the children come home and there's a mother not screaming and yelling and panicking about every small thing, but a mother that's there to comfort her children. When her children come in from this world that is just riddled with evil and sin, home ought to be a place that is the closest thing to heaven on earth. It's a place where the laugh of a baby, a laugh of a child. I'll tell you, there's nothing more beautiful than coming home and hearing the laughter of a child. There's times that I'll come out of the office area after meetings that maybe are discouraging or trying to work through problems, and I'll come out of my office and I'll stand and I'll hear our children on the playground, and I'll hear the children across at the elementary school the sound of laughter coming, and just standing there and hearing children laugh is such a wonderful thing. Home ought to be a place where children can laugh. It's the strength of a father. It's not the father being ridiculed, the father just being this one that's taking up space in the home. But a father ought to come when father's around, it ought to show strength. Not strength against his children and strength against the wife, but when he's there, they know they can depend upon him. They know that the problems are going to be solved. They understand there's a leader that's going to lead that home through difficult seasons. It's the warmth of loving hearts. It's the light of happy eyes. It's kindness unprayed. It's the loyalty one for another. Home ought to be a place where they're loyal and trusted. It's a covenant love. It's a place to learn right from wrong. It's not just the church's responsibility to teach your children what's right and wrong. It's not the school's responsibility to teach right and wrong. And I hope you're not depending upon society to teach your children what's right and wrong, because they will be severely confused, because society has no understanding of what's right and wrong. When you negate the word of God, you'll never understand what's right and wrong. But when the word of God is primary in your home, then your home is a place where you teach your children what is right and what is wrong based upon the word of God. Home ought to be a place to go for comfort. Whenever you've been battered by the world, family is the place that you ought to go to run to. So often, even in Christian homes, family and the home is the place where people want to run from, but it's the place that we ought to run to. It's the closest thing that we'll see to heaven on this side of eternity, a Christian home. Family is where fathers and mothers are respected. Families are a place, dads, where you respect your wives. Family is a place, ladies, where you respect your husbands. You're teaching your children what marriage ought to be like. It's a place where parents are honored. Family is where children are wanted. Let me say that again. Family is a place where children are wanted. Family ought not be a place where children are seen and not heard. No, families aren't a place where the kids run the house. But family is a place where the kids feel wanted and the kids feel loved. It's a place where parents consider that children are not just a nuisance, but children are considered a blessing from the Lord. It's where one man loves one woman and enjoys the beauty of this love. Family is heaven on earth. A Christian home is the closest thing to heaven that we'll see on this side of eternity. And so this week, I want to look at fathers. Next week, our goal is we'll look at mothers, and the following week, we'll look at children, and then we'll look at communication. But this week, I want to look at dads. Now, dads, don't get worried. And moms, don't start smiling. Because you're next week. But fathers, men make up a home. What does God expect of a father? An earthly father should reflect our heavenly father. Would you agree with that? A earthly father, a Christian earthly father, ought to respect our heavenly or represent our heavenly father. And we know this, the Bible tells us this, that God is love. That means this: everything that love is God. God knows love. God is love. Therefore, husbands and fathers ought to be the shining example of love in the home. Ephesians 5:25 says this: husbands, put up with your wives. Is that what it says? Just wanted to see if you're awake. No, what's the Bible say? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, listen to me. If you're not loving your wife, it's not her fault. It's yours. You say, you don't know my wife. I didn't make this up. God did. If you married her, then you better learn to love her. It's a command by God. If you're not loving your wife the way that God loved, the Christ loved the church, then you are the problem. And you need to start getting the help necessary to love your wife. You not loving her the way she is, deserves to be loved is not her fault. It's your fault. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, you don't treat your wife like she's the oldest child. She is your wife. Oftentimes, that's how we husbands, we treat our wives almost like she's just the oldest of the children living in the home. And she feels like that. No, she is your equal. She is your one flesh, the Bible says here in the book of Genesis. There's a husband and wife. They went to a counselor and the counselor said to them, tell me the last time you were happy. And the husband said this, my wife and I were happy for 20 years and then we met. that's not the way home ought to be. Well, for the years before you were married, there was a piece of you missing. Now that you're married, you're one flesh with this person. Life ought to be more exciting. Life ought to show more love. Life ought to be even a better reflection of God's love. Paul said this, husbands, love your wives, even as your own bodies. All throughout the Bible, as we were to do a study on husbands, we're always commanded to love our wives. This is a godly, this is an agape love, no matter what. No matter what is done, you love your wife. It's not a conditional love. It is an unconditional love, meaning this, no matter how I'm treated, I love. Just like with us, no matter what we've done to God, God still loved us and died for us and still is willing to save us. Aren't you so glad that God's love for you is not dependent upon what you've done with his love? But he loves you in despite of your failure, in spite of your sin. He loves you and cares for you. I see this as well. Not only is God love, the Bible teaches this, that God is a great provider. And God is a great provider, and then God would expect the husbands to be great providers as well. Laziness is ruining homes. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, if you're able to make your way there, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says this, but if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Here Paul is instructing Timothy as he's preparing Timothy for the ministry and ministering to people and pastoring people. He said, Timothy, there's something I want you to understand. If a man isn't willing to provide for his family, he is worse than an infidel. He's worse than the worst. Listen to me. A Christian home is not a husband sitting around all evening while his wife is lonely and his children has not seen him and playing video games till wee hours in the morning. It's not him sitting on the couch and everyone just serving him and just there for his needs. It is not one that can't hold a job because he can't get up in the morning. And it's not one that can't hold a job because he has a poor work ethic. No, a husband ought to be an honest man. It ought to be a providing man. It's one that is meeting the needs of his family. It doesn't mean that all the worldly desires and all of the worldly aspirations he's giving to his family. The greatest thing you can provide for your family, fathers, is love. Husbands, our fathers, the best thing you can do for your children
is to respect their mother and provide. The best thing you can do is get up and go to work and be ethical and be honest. That's what we need. What's happening in America today is dads aren't doing their part and fathers aren't doing their part and husbands aren't doing their part and families are failing because of it. Being born a male is a chance, but being a man is a choice that each and every one of us must make. Provide for your families. Dads, you need to provide. When your children have a need, a true need, they ought to know that I can run to dad and dad's going to do all he can to provide for the family. Why? Because God is a provider. God is love. God is a provider. Thirdly, and hear me on this, Jesus said this, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's a verse in the Old Testament that God said to Moses. He said, Moses, I want you to leave and I want you to go to this place. And when you go to this place, I want you to be there. And if you think about it, you think, what does that mean? Of course he's there. No, what God was saying to Moses, when you get there, be there. Many a times physically we're at a place, but emotionally and mentally, we're nowhere to be found. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and physically they're sitting in front of you, their eyeballs are looking at you, and they have no idea what you're saying? Have you ever experienced that? How many of you, when you're treated that way, you just love it? My wife, every so often, she'll say, do you hear what you just said yes to? I said, well, what do you mean? She said, the kids just, like, it's like they know when to get what they want out of you. They look for that look in your eye. They see the busyness on your face. And that's when they come to you and say, Dad, do you mind if we take the car? And they don't even have her license yet. And I'm like, yeah, sure, that's fine. No problem. Did you just hear what you said yes to them? What did they ask for? They asked if they could have your keys to your car. Oh, why would they ask that? And she just says, are you serious? Are you there? Are you there? God is there. And listen to me, he expects husbands and fathers to be present as well. Physically, you might be there, but you need to be emotionally involved in the life of your family. America homes suffer from phantom fathers. 70% of long-term prison inmates grew up in a home without a father. 72% of murderers grew up in a home without a father. 80% of American children, think about this. I triple checked this statistic because I couldn't believe it. But 80% of children today grow up in a home where their biological father does not live. I'm amazed. 4 out of 10 children are born into by unwed mothers. In Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6, go there with me. Malachi 4, 6, Old Testament, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 4, 6. The Bible says this, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. What a wonderful... He's going to turn the hearts of their children to their fathers, turn the hearts of their fathers to the children. What a wonderful thing that is. And that's what we pray for. God, reunite these passions. Turn the hearts of fathers back to their children and children's hearts back to the fathers. Wonderful it is. But look what he says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. If this doesn't happen, God's not pleased. His desire is for the dads to have a heart for their children and for the children to have a heart for their parents, to be there, to be present, to be involved in their life. But God is going to send judgment to any nation whose fathers refuse to lead, whose fathers refuse to love, and whose fathers refuse to provide for their children. Why? Because this is not God's plan. His plan is for a father and a mother to leave their parents and cleave to each other and become one flesh, to reproduce, multiply in the spirit of love. That is God's plan. It requires a man. It requires a woman. It requires a husband. It requires a wife. It requires parents. It requires children, all with this love one for another, so that this is the closest thing to heaven on this side of eternity, the home. I read this: what has happened in the American home over the last 35 years? A 560% increase in violent crimes, a 400% increase in juvenile arrests. And I think this is all statistics before 2020. 400% increase in teenage births, 200% increase in teenage suicide. More than 70% of juveniles in the state reform institutions come from a fatherless home. Those statistics are alarming. It ought not be. This is not God's plan. Hear me, poverty, we're saying it's poverty's problem. It's a lack of education. Poverty is not the number one problem. Lack of education is not the number one problem. The number one problem in America today is fatherless homes. The number one problem in the homes today are fathers that are not involved. The number one problem in homes today are fathers that aren't respecting their wives. The number one problem in homes today are fathers who just aren't present and aren't there, that aren't teaching their children and guiding their children and nurturing their children to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the number one problem in the homes today. Every father, I beg of you, follow God's plan. Love your wife. Love your children. Get your children out of the environments that are driven by the spirit of rebellion. If you can't see that we are living in a world of anarchy today, just turn on the news. Look and see what the scholarly schools are producing. Anarchy. And we blame the fathers. If I saw my children involved in something morally incorrect or spiritually wrong, I'd be the first to march myself down there and correct that issue. It is not up to society to raise your children. It is not up to the school system to raise your children. You have the authority over your children. God gave your child to you to raise your child, to nurture your child, and to love your child. That child does not belong to the state. That child does not belong to the school systems. God gave you that child. You lead that child. You love that child. You provide for that child. That is God's pattern for the family. That's where you can say amen and encourage this poor preacher right now. Father, step up. This is God's plan. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 7. Hebrews 11, verse number 7, the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I tell you, This verse right here is a verse that every father ought to look at. Noah here, by faith, being warned of God of the things not yet seen, moved with fear. What did he do? He prepared an ark to save his house, his family. One of the greatest accomplishments that Noah ever had was not the building of this enormous ark. It was the fact that all of his children went into the ark with him. What an entire world. This is the time in the world where the Bible says this, it even repented God that he made man. It was total wickedness. God looked out at mankind and said, you have gone so far. They're worshiping other idols. There's no care, no concern of God in their life. Wicked sexual perversion. It was pretty much this. If God said it, man did the opposite. And God saw this and he said, what are you doing? I made man to fellowship with you. I made man to worship me. And man has defiled everything that I've said. But there was one man named Noah. And Noah saw things that are coming. He had never seen rain before. But listen to me, there's several things I see here. Number one, Noah was wise enough and walked with God close enough to see things that were coming down the pike that no one had ever seen before. And I'm simply saying this, things are coming to this generation and generations that are coming up next to ours that we've never seen before. And some of us are just saying, this is the world we're living in. And they're crossing their fingers, hoping, I hope I can survive. No, we need some men in our society that say, I don't care what sin brings. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what this world throws at my children. I am going to raise my children in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. I'm going to raise my children to love God. I'm going to raise my children to honor their parents. I'm going to raise my children to have a passion for the word of God. Our family, our home is going to be a place of love. I'm going to provide for my children because there's a God in heaven that matters. This is what Noah said, I want for my children. In the entire world, turned their back on God. But Noah's family got into the ark. Noah prepared his family in a very, very wicked time. Go with me, if you would please, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6. In verse number 4, Ephesians 6, 4, the Bible says, and ye fathers, or you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And sometimes we stop there. But the rest of the verse says this, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Who's that written to? Fathers. He says, you fathers, who's he speaking to? The Christian fathers at Ephesus. Ephesus, a very pagan place. Don't, fathers, pass on to anyone else what solely belongs to you. Now, there's a lot of people that I would thank, school teachers and youth pastors and men and women in this church that have loved my children and helped me in this area, but it is not their responsibility to raise my children, it's mine. It's my responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that means where I place them. Where I place them in school and in church and in youth group and in allowing them in certain homes, that I place them, that's part of my responsibility to choose the best place for my children to learn about God. But none of those places ever take over what my main responsibility is, and that is this, to teach my children, to raise my children in the admonition and love and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to nurture them. That's the responsibility of the father. And so, fathers, I want to ask you this question. Are your homes Christian homes? So often it's mom will take the kids to church. You know, they say if you get the kids in church, you got a chance of maybe getting mom to church. But if you get dad in church, you get the whole family. Dads, take your families to church. I don't say this. I don't say this at all to beat anybody up, but I think so often, if it was up to many dads, families wouldn't be in church on Sundays. Many of dads go because they're being dragged by their wives. It ought not be. Your child ought to know we're at church because dad leads us to church. We're doing right because dad leads us to do right. We're praying and reading our Bible, not because mom does it, but because dad is leading our home. Dad is the one that is nurturing. Dad is the one that is bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord. Dad is the one that's not provoking our children to wrath. You know what he's saying? Don't be double-minded, dads. Don't say one thing and do the other. Are your children saved? Or are you living in a divided? Does your home fight all the time? Is there bitterness? Is there bickering? Is there animosity? It's time we start acting like a Christian home that God intended us to be. Let God rule your life. Let Him rule your mind. Let Him rule your marriage. Let Him rule your home. And fathers and husbands, be what God has called you to be. For His glory's sake, bring honor to your home because He is worthy of honor. Let your home be a place that people say, this is a piece of heaven because God dwells there. Let your wife know that she is the most admired, most loved, most cared for. I walked in today as my wife was getting herself ready and saw her in this beautiful outfit. When I saw her for the first time this morning, it's the honest truth, I thought to myself this, I am the luckiest man in the world. To have a wife as beautiful as her. To have a wife as loving as her. Honor God. Honor God by honoring the blessings that God has given you. Honor God by honoring your wife. Honor God by honoring your children and raise them up in a place where they know they're important because God is important to you.
You just finished listening to a message from the preaching ministry at Monclova Road Baptist Church. If it was a help to you, make sure that you let somebody know about it. If you need help beyond this message, make sure that you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or check out our website, monclovabaptist.org, and we would love to connect with you there and help you with anything that you might need. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the Monclova Baptist Church Podcast.